Hello, happy site owners and webmasters. Welcome to the Blog 8 Tips Tuesday podcast for September 11th, 2018, and I'm your host, Mayanna. Tips this week include what you need to do to ensure you stay on the Blog 8 email list, the backup tutorials I've been updating for my webmasters, the bonus you get as a site owner who's ahead of the change curves, what's up with my October site audit schedule, and why you need to beat the rush, an update on the status of the new Google Search Console course, and who will get discounts soon. Mark your calendars now for a show on Wednesday talking about Gutenberg and the future of the web, an easy way you can guide the future of WordPress development, what's in the update for the best recipe plugin test, a super way I found to speed up your site with Lazy Load even if you run ads, the new feature I'm tickled to see come to WP Fastest Cache, will the new schema markup blocks for Yoast mess up your recipe post? Why small business site owners can now add Yelp and other reviews to their sites? What's in the updates to Firefox and Chrome that you should be deeply concerned about? And tips for great ways to grow your email list. So let's dive in. I hope you'll join me live tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific for the party, an interactive Tips Tuesday recap and breaking news on the Blog 8 Facebook page. In Blog 8 happenings, well, this past week I noticed a rash of spam subscribers to my newsletter. I checked my list and sure enough, I've been hit pretty hard with the spam bot of subscribers since about May. Now, I deleted about 50 of them, so if you accidentally got caught in that purge, I am sorry. Please resubscribe. Now, I custom made my opt-in form, so I definitely need to put a good honeypot spam filter on them. That's a blank field that's invisible to humans, but bots see it and fill it out, and we say, you're a bot. I also see that it's time for me to do a mass purge on the list, and I'll be triggering that by folks who have not opened an email in the last 6 months. So be super sure you open emails you get from me, including blog posts, so you don't drop off the list. And you don't want to miss out on the specials I'll be sending subscribers soon. We'll get into those details in a moment. Now, this past week, I've been going full blast on my backlog of my own to-do list. I updated a bunch of tutorials in level 2 of the Webmaster Training courses, and those involved all the backup tutorials. Now, if you use Updraft, you've noticed that they've completely revamped their interface. So, I'll be updating all those tutorials for it next. And while I'm at it, I'll probably be making a new restore tutorial for my Site Audit Plus clients, as most of them use Updraft. Now, that will finish up our quick check series on backups to ensure we have those fully squared away. I also removed all of the tutorials for Backup Buddy, as I no longer use it or recommend it. You know, I've been visiting the new house for an hour or two just about every day, especially now that the painting and most of the flooring things have been addressed. I can now start taking things over that I don't think that the movers can handle well, or things like chemicals that they just can't move at all. And I've been meeting with the workmen and or checking on their progress too. And I'm so glad that I'm already mostly packed, so that I'm not trying to fit that into the schedule right now, too. I know all of my site audit clients who are making the time to follow Tips Tuesday and participate in our Facebook group are thrilled they're so far ahead of the site maintenance curve, too. When new site hoo-ha does pop up, they're available to jump right on it and knock it out. Being educated about their sites makes that a quick and calm check or change too. Now, we stay out of panic mode and our sites stay in tip-top form as well. And this way, we can all spend time focused on our money makers, you know, like writing new posts and promoting them. Now, I have several new clients as well as returning site audit clients who are ready for their checkup on my wait list, and they asked to defer to October. So, that's already shaping up to be a busy month. If you've been thinking about an audit, even if it's later this fall, best to go ahead and get on my schedule now. October is the beginning of busy season for all site service workers, designers included. Now, I usually don't come up for air again until March. So get on that list now. And my October schedule is going to be especially packed due to making the new course on the new Google Search Console interface for the DIY SEO course. It's especially timely since Google just announced that the new interface will be the default when you log in now. Now, while they haven't brought every resource over from the original interface yet, they are cranking out new features every week, and a bunch of them are new things that we need to be tracking. So I'll be sending out an email this week to all of my site audit clients and webmasters with a huge discount on the course. And then just prior to the new course being added and the price of the course going up, I'll be sending out a discount link to all my Blogaid News subscribers. So if you're not on that list already, be sure to subscribe and be sure to tell all of your blogger buddies too. That DIY SEO course works. My peeps are showing up in featured snippets and position zero at the top of page one in search and getting 4,000% increase in traffic. Now, it also helps diversify their traffic streams so they're not counting on one other platform like Pinterest or Facebook for all their traffic. Plus, their sites are far more enjoyable experiences for their visitors, too. Hey, mark your calendar right now for Wednesday, September 12th at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. I'll be Michael Daniels' special guest on the Tinkering with Tech show, and we'll be talking about why Gutenberg is in line with the future of how we'll be using the internet, including the virtual and augmented reality aspects of it. Now, if you follow the link to YouTube, which I've got for you here in the show notes, you can even set a reminder. We'll only be doing a little bit of talking, and then we'll be taking live comments and questions from the audience. So I do hope you can make it live. All right, y'all, that's all the news from around here. Let's jump into this week's tips. In WordPress tips, here's an easy way for you to make your voice heard as a WordPress user. I'm voting, and I hope you will too. There's a thing over on Classic Press where you can vote for what you think is most important. Now, I'm not sure this Classic Press fork is the way to go, but I think Matt Mullenweg will read the poll results, and that will make WordPress better no matter what version you use. My two important issues are PHP 7 as a minimum version and to remove XML RPC. Both of these are super security concerns. Plus, the PHP thing is going to be a plugin nightmare if devs keep dragging their feet on it. Scott Boiler, the founder of Classic Press, reached out to me via my Facebook post on this. So he and others are listening and trying to garner as much community support as possible. I don't have intentions of using Classic Press at this time, but I am keeping my eye on this to see where it goes with the community. So far, the discussion on the vote page still looks like the same dev-only discussions we've always had with little end-user input. Plus, the same old, we might break something, drag on any changes suggested. It's time for end users to step up and get involved and help steer the direction of WordPress development. So go vote! And if you're wondering what Classic Press is, see my previous Tips Tuesdays. In plugin tips, there's been an update on the best recipe plugin post. Tasty Recipe released an updated version that has several features that Marilyn helped upvote and schema markup that was missing, which I pointed out in my recent test. We've both updated our posts for these new features, and we found a big deal with this plugin on abbreviating prep and cook times. It will throw a schema markup error over that. So if you use this plugin, be sure to spell out the words hours and minutes. Marilyn tells me all the other plugins like these words abbreviated. So if you want to check your schema markup for errors, there's a link to Google's structured data testing tool in the post with tips on what to look for. As y'all know, I've been recommending the free Lazy Load plugin made by WP Rocket as a supplement to those running the free version of WP Fastest Cache. But it doesn't have many settings options. So I checked out the BJ Lazy Load plugin, and it has lots of settings options, including one to just apply Lazy Load to Gravatars. So if you run ads on your site but have lots of comments, this will help with overall page load time. And woohoo, I was pretty thrilled to see WP Fastest Cache add a lazy load feature to their premium version. That's one of the suggestions I made to the dev during my speed test. Now, it's very much like the one in WP Rocket, which only has settings for images and iframes. I'm looking forward to testing it to see if you can turn it off on a per page or post basis like you can with WP Rocket. That setting was critically important for me. As you may recall last week that I reported a conflict with Lazy Load and Google's reCAPTCHA on my contact form. And you can see a post on how to add reCAPTCHA to contact form 7. Got a tutorial for you in the show notes. In SEO tips, Team Yoast has been jumping all over improving the plugin to be Gutenberg compliant. Their latest efforts are focused directly on the blocks, which are at the heart of the new editor. And you'll be able to add special formatting and markup to each block. Now, Yoast is working on a way for you to include special schema markup for each block. I see a couple of caveats with this. First, I hope this doesn't conflict with recipe plugins, which carry their own schema markup. I think the recipe plugin devs are planning on making their own custom blocks. So, we'll see if those fight with each other. Second, schema markup is a hierarchy, meaning it's a top-down structure. Now, to get the most benefit from using it, your theme has to also support it to give it the tip-top hierarchy. So, folks using the Genesis framework are getting that support, and their recipe plugins are doing better with Google than folks who are using other themes. That's also true of using any other type of schema markup for local business listings, video SEO, and more. All of this is just one more reason I advise holding off on switching to Gutenberg. Everything about it, including plugin compatibility, is still being worked out. Now, none of what Yoast and other plugin devs are creating is going to drop support for non-Gutenberg sites. So, we'll be good right where we are, and we're not missing anything cool by not jumping on that ship right now. Hey, for my webmasters who work with small biz site owners, Google has finally given a thumbs up to placing reviews from Yelp and Google Maps on your site now. This is a big bonus so visitors can check out your business without having to leave your site. That's going to help with conversion like crazy. In browser tips, oh, great. Mozilla, the makers of Firefox browser, just announced that the latest version will block all cross-site third-party trackers. Now, I wonder what this is going to do to our analytics, especially those from ad agencies. Those ad agencies use their own pixel tracking, as does Facebook pixel tracking. Now, this info is at the heart of our marketing and money-making. So if you run ads from an agency like Mediavine or AdThrive on your site, or even if you use Amazon or AdSense, I sure would like to know if you've received any word from them about this. I'm hoping they include ad block busters to deal with it. And Chrome is rolling out version 69, and one of the big changes is that they've dropped the www from all URLs. Now, that doesn't mean there is no www. It just means that it's not being displayed. Now, they are no longer displaying m. for mobile versions of the site, if anyone's still using that thing. Now, there are instructions in the article for how to display the full URL, but I seriously doubt most folks will do that. Heck, I doubt most site surfers really care one way or the other. Now, most folks stopped typing in www a long time ago, especially on mobile. Should you drop www from your domain? You can check out my post on www versus non-www for which is the best to use and why. Now, this is something I usually change for folks during an HTTPS conversion. And I would strongly caution you not to just change it in your WP settings. That doesn't convert the links in your database, and you'll have a mismatch of links. Now, as you'll see further down in that article that I want you to go read, this whole dropping of the www and m.dot subdomains thing has caused a huge issue. In the article, they give the example of m.tumblr.com being an entirely different site than tumblr.com. The Hacker News folks are accusing Google of trying to hide their AMP subdomain. And another big change is that Chrome is no longer displaying the secure status for HTTPS sites. It is only displaying a not secure warning on non-HTTPS sites. That means that little padlock thing is no longer there. Now, I don't have a non-HTTPS site link to test that on, so if you do have one, let me know. Best to reply on my Facebook post for Tips Tuesday for that, as my comment spam filter will probably block a link or at least hold it for moderation. Now, there are other changes in Chrome 69 that you'll want to check that article for, especially for Windows users, so go have a read. In opt-in tips, growing your email list is the best way to build tribe and ensure you get more return visitors to your site. Now, hopefully you all have an opt-in somewhere on your site. If that's only in your sidebar, perhaps folks aren't seeing it, especially on mobile. Your sidebar ends up at the bottom of the post, past your comments and such. Have you considered adding a pop-up? You know, Google and visitors don't like one appearing too quickly, or ones that block all the content. So during site audits, I noticed that several of my clients have taken to using an exit pop-up. It appears the moment your mouse leaves the main window, like when you're going up to the top of your browser to either exit or use your back button. I think that's a great idea. So if you do this, what plugin do you use? Or if you have a pop-up elsewhere, when does it display and where? Also, do you have a dedicated page for your opt-in? Like I do for Blogaid News, you can't link to a sidebar or a pop-up. Having a dedicated page allows you to promote a direct link and get more subscribers. All right, y'all, that's a wrap for this week's Tips Tuesday. Show me some love. Share this post with all your blogger buddies to support the free and helpful info you get on Blogaid and help your buddies. Be sure to visit blogaid.net for more tips and resources. And I'll see you online.